Today's scripture reading is Matthew 6, verses 5 to 13, taken from the New International Version, found on page 1504 of your pew Bible. Prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into the room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. May God bless us through the reading of his word.
Let's begin this time with a word of prayer. Lord, we are praying to you right now. But as we pray, we are asking that you would teach us how to pray even more. Help us, Lord, to draw in closer to you. Help us to have the ears to hear all the wonderful things that you desire to tell us. And help us have the strength and the heart to desire to respond to the things that you tell us. Holy Spirit, today we pray that you would be the true teacher. Lord, would you help us to fix our eyes on Christ? And may Christ just truly be the most important thing, the most important person here today. We thank you, Lord, for this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I am going to be talking about the subject of prayer for the next couple of weeks. I felt led to talk about this. Originally, I remember I wanted to focus on prayer for the upcoming retreat, and we will be praying at the retreat, but I really want to stress the importance of unity, and so I really want to encourage everyone to come to the retreat, because that is a part of the theme of this year, about unity in the body of Christ. But what I wanted to do in the weeks coming up to the retreat, though, was to focus a bit on prayer. Because I feel it's something that we know, it's important, but many of us kind of get a lot of our ideas about prayer, not necessarily from the Bible, but maybe from just word of mouth, maybe from other opinions about it and such. And so I kind of wanted to take some time out to focus on prayer and what is it? You know, some of us think maybe it's some kind of superstitious act, something that draws divine energy, or something that's very laborious and very boring and puts us to sleep. And I would like to kind of just help us to sort of clear the table a bit and lay sort of a new foundation. And the first thing I want to say about prayer is that it's about relationship. You see, God is all about relationship. And, you know, I've been sharing about this before a couple of weeks ago, about God is all about relationship. And so all that he's wanted to do is to repair the relationship, the divide that's come between us because of sin. And through Jesus Christ, that relationship is now restored. But now that it's restored, he's calling us to build on that relationship. And how do we build on that relationship? And I like to say that that's what prayer is. Much more than just talking to God and stuff. I'd like to say it's even bigger than that. It's about the act of relating to God in all the different ways that we can. And talking to God is a part of it, but there's other parts of it too. And, you know, as we're reading this scripture, I've read it many times growing up, and it really impresses upon me the importance that God doesn't come near to us by the impressiveness of our speech. You know, he's not coming to us because we are experts in Christianity. He's not impressed by, like, how we impress others around us or how spiritual we look. You see, God comes close to us because he loves us. You know, I come here today as a person. I was sharing with Rhea, I was like, how can I preach on prayer? I'm not an expert in prayer. I'm still learning, and we're all learning. And the reality is that why are we all learning? Is because we're all learning to be people in a relationship. Some of you who might be dating right now, you know that, wow, this single life and this dating life is very different. You know, now I need to be thinking about someone. Now I need to get to know this person. Some of you who have gotten married, you're thinking like, wow, we're not just dating now. We're committed now, lifelong, to get to know each other. This is going to take some time. I can't just, you know, do my thing and you do your thing and then that's great. We get to share rent. It's a lot more than that. And then when a baby comes into the whole picture, you're thinking, wow, okay, so this person's really dependent on us. I think we need to get our act together and take care of this baby together. We're all getting to know each other. And you know, it's amazing. When I went to Vancouver and I saw my parents, I realized we're still on that journey of getting to know each other. You know, he's never had this son who's this old in this stage of his life ever. He's still learning how to be a granddad. He's still learning to be a dad. Okay, I learned how to be a dad for a teen, but now I have to be a dad for three adults who are married with kids. How do you do that? And you see, that's what prayer is about. It's this ongoing journey. We keep getting to know more and more about God. It's not this ritual. It's not about this thing for other people. Wouldn't you find it strange if someone said, like, you're hanging out with somebody, and this couple, they only seem to really get to like each other when other people are around them. Like, I love you, I love you. And then as soon as you turn your back, they're like, oh, you know, they look at each other like that. You think there's this double-mindedness to their relationship. And you see, that's why God is saying, prayer is something you want to do in a secret place. Are you pursuing this relationship even when no one's looking? You know, it's tempting to look like wonderful families downstairs when we're in the fellowship hall. Oh, honey, do you need this drink? Oh, I got this food for you. I love you. But you know, on the car ride home, like, rah, rah, there's all this fighting in the back of the car. I told you kids in the back to be quiet and blah, blah, blah. You're thinking, wow, if Pastor Sam saw this, I don't know what he'd say. Don't worry. It happens to all of us. It's okay. But the thing is, what really counts is when no one's looking. And that's why we read in the scripture, prayer in the secret place is so important. When you have no one to impress, it really tests like the quality of your relationship with God. When no one's looking, when you don't do it because you're trying to impress somebody, you're not doing it because your Sunday school teacher made you do it. But there in the secret place, how is your relationship with God? And I want to say, and I think some of us who've been married for a long time, I have much to learn from many of our members here. Relationship takes consistency and patience, right? It's a discipline. It's a commitment. We can say, yes, I want to continue to build this relationship. Or you can say, you know, it's not a priority to me and I can just let it fall apart. And that's what prayer is. It's an active discipline. It's not just a thing that we do at meals. It's a lifestyle. And so that's what I wanted to talk about today. And to make this easier, I just wanted to talk about two things about prayer today. I want to say that prayer is two things. And the first thing I want to say is that prayer is about receiving. And what do I mean by receiving? I mean that it's the discipline of constantly recognizing the presence of God in your life. And so I want to do just this very simple thing. It's not very difficult. I mean, do it however you feel comfortable. Just have your hands extended like this and think prayer is receiving. Prayer is receiving. Okay? And just close your hands. Okay? And what I want you to do is just kind of picture. What you're doing with your hands is kind of saying like, God, I'm here to receive from you. And I will hold on to what you give to me. Okay? Prayer is receiving. You want to all say that together with me? Prayer is receiving. Okay. So if you can turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 to 11, I'm going to talk about that. 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 to 11. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And maybe let me just interject for a second. What's going on in the scripture is that we've read about this boy Samuel, and the mother, very grateful to God that she had a son, has now dedicated Samuel to live his life for God, So he's totally set apart for God. And so he's growing up in the temple. And he had a mentor named Eli. And one night, verse 2, one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord God called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down again. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle." Amen. And you see, many people have talked about prayer being a conversation. And as we all know, conversation is about talking and listening. Although you've been with some people and they think it's probably just talking. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone and they just talk your ear off? They just talk and talk and talk, but they never take time to listen to you. Usually we call these people people of bad etiquette. You know, they don't know how to deal with other people. They're very awkward. They're socially strange, right? They're not listening. And it's strange that we have these rules in conversation, but when it comes to prayer, in this relationship, in this conversation with God, we don't apply those rules. Many of our conversations have been like long, long kind of just episodes of us talking. I grew up in a tradition from the Korean church. We have many people who are very eager to pray in front of people, and they'll pray at length. I remember one time we were in a service. The person who was invited to pray, he just prayed for a good 15, 20 minutes. I remember just looking around and like children were just like falling asleep in their chairs. He was just preaching and spouting and saying, "And Lord, as you said in verse blah, blah, blah in the Bible," and he went on and on. And I was wondering, maybe God was even getting a little tired of him speaking. You know, it's like, thank you, really, it's okay. Can I get a word in here? You know, I was wondering if God was thinking these things. Because I was. Sometimes, prayer, we have to realize that prayer is about receiving, right? You know, a famous Danish philosopher and theologian, Soren Kierkegaard, said, "A man prayed, and at first he thought that prayer was talking, but he had become more and more quiet until in the end he realized that prayer is listening." And here we have in this wonderful story about Samuel, and actually I think this is why my parents named me Samuel, is that they wanted me to be a person who heard from God. And see, this boy, Samuel, kept hearing this voice, but he heard it, but he thought it was coming from Eli. He was mistaken about the source of the voice. And you know, God is often speaking to us in a very natural way. So natural that we just think it's like maybe the things around us. He speaks to us in our everyday circumstances and in our convictions and in the leading of our heart. But we often fail to recognize the source. And so we go to other people and say like, "Sorry, what were you saying?" But you know, all along, it's been God who's been calling us. We may drift and wonder. We think like, "Was that my imagination? Yeah, that sounds like a good idea, but that's probably just something, you know, that I'm just feeling." And we don't recognize where the source of the voice is. And this is what we're called to do in prayer, is to begin to test the voices that speak to us. And I know some people might feel a little uncomfortable when I'm talking about the word voices. You're thinking, That sounds very strange. And like, is that new agey, or are you encouraging some kind of neurotic form of behavior? And that's not what I'm talking about. In our daily lives, we have all sorts of nudgings and convictions. And then many of us maybe just kind of discount it as, okay, I'm going crazy. I don't know why I'm thinking that. Or maybe we're thinking, ah, that's just other people. And we're very confused. But what prayer does is we begin to develop, what are the voices that are coming from God? And what are the voices that are coming from the world? And you see, Eli recognized what Samuel was doing. He couldn't tell the difference. And he said, Samuel, I think God is speaking to you. Take time to say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. You see, what sets us apart from kind of new aginess and strange meditative practices is that we're not just saying like, okay, just be silent and just say yes to whatever comes into your mind. We're being silent and we're saying yes to Jesus, Jesus Christ. And there's a big difference. And I want to encourage people. You know, sometimes like we think like, oh, this doesn't work, does it? But I want to challenge you is that have you ever had a moment where you kind of have a secret place of your own, where you kind of just sit down with God and say, just a simple prayer. I think this is a great prayer that I encourage people to say. Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. And just take some time out to listen. You know, what has been filling our thoughts lately? What circumstances have been affecting us more than others? What's been burdening us lately? Have we had a time to say, Lord, in the midst of like all the chaos that's in my life right now, can you speak to me? Lord, I've opened my hands to you. I want to receive from you. And as I was praying for the church, I really felt, you know, I'm going to try this too. As I'm preaching today, God, what do you want to really speak to me? And I really felt like God wanted to say to a lot of us today is that God wants to just pour out his love to you and encourage you and empower you in so many ways. But the thing is, you need to make some time to receive that. And a lot of prayer is about receiving. It is important that we have a secret place where we receive from God. You know, a place where we don't pray because we're kind of self-conscious and we're worried about what other people will think if we pray. Where we're not self-conscious about being too spiritual or not spiritual enough. We want to have a secret place where we pray because we want to draw attention to God, not to ourselves. It's an everyday task. And the more we do it, the more we recognize the voice of God speaking to us in the night, like Samuel. Do we have places where we can even test the conversation? If someone speaks to us, do we have an Eli that we can go to and say, hey, you know, lately I've been convicted about this. Is there someone I can talk to? You know, I want to be that person for you. But, you know, I'm just one person. Do you have fellow Christians, brothers and sisters that you can share with? You know, lately I feel like God's leading me in this. Could you pray with me about this? Could we begin to seek God's heart about it? Proverbs 19:20 talks about listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. People who listen to God, not just in the secret place, but with their friends, for their Christian brothers and sisters. Wisdom is built there. Prayer is about receiving, recognizing the voice of God in our daily lives. And the second thing I want to say is that prayer is about responding. So if you guys can try this again, remember the first one. So prayer is about receiving, okay? And what I want us to do now is I want us to now open our hands and now say, prayer is about responding, okay? So let's try this again. Prayer is about receiving, and then prayer is about responding, okay? And you know, sometimes when you don't know how to pray, I want to encourage you. This is a very simple thing, okay? I'm going to take some time to receive. Now I'm going to take some time to respond. You see, there's two different things. A lot of us love the receiving part. Oh, God, can you just encourage me today? Tell me how much you love me. Tell me how much, like, how wonderful I am in your eyes. And yeah. But then we just walk away. Man, I feel so good. You just walk away. You see, something has to be done. There needs to be a response. You see, there was a wonderful thing that happened we read in 1 Samuel 3. God spoke to Samuel. He received from God. But what happened? God spoke a very difficult word. And you see, we read the next morning, what was it? It was supposed to be that he's supposed to rebuke his mentor. And so he woke up in the morning, we read, and he was very afraid. And he didn't want to speak about it, but Eli said, you better speak what God speaks to you. And so he did. And he said, I tell you this, but God's really upset your family. You know, when God speaks to us in a secret place, he doesn't just, you know, speak sweet nothings to us. He speaks direction to us. And now he asks us, what are you going to do with it? How will you respond? As in any good conversation, we listen to the other person and then we respond. I've seen this happen in many couples when, like, someone is speaking and, you know, one person is speaking and speaking, and at the end of it, the person responds. He actually speaks back, but what does he say? Hey, when's the World Cup soccer game on? And what does the person say? You're not listening to me. But I said something back to you. Yeah, but you're not listening to what I was speaking to you. You see, that happens very often in our prayers. God speaks something to us, and then we respond by saying, and Lord, can you take care of this stuff I'm worried about? And, you know, and there's this other thing next week that's coming up, this important project. And Lord, can you just teach my kids to just listen to me all the time? That would be greatly appreciated. And it's like, I feel like God is saying, you know, I really appreciate that you're praying to me, but I don't think you're listening. And you see, there's a difference. Receiving what we have, taking in what we receive, and then responding. As in any good conversation, we need to listen attentively and then react accordingly. See, prayer is about receiving in the secret place. And now, what are we going to do once we leave the secret place? It's an act of will, of submitting our will to come in agreement with God's will. You see, prayer is really different if you do it like this. Prayer is kind of going in there saying, God, change me so when I come out of this, I will be more in line with what you desire. And what's a model of this receiving and responding? I like to say it's the Lord's Prayer. That's why when we read in other parts of the gospel, the disciples come up to Jesus and say, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he says, well, here's a model. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 15. The Lord's Prayer. And if you look at the Lord's Prayer, it has a certain structure to it. You see, it's not just Jesus spouting some good ideas to throw in. If we look at the Lord's Prayer, if you look at it, it's kind of broken up into two parts, if I can make it a little simple. And maybe, if it's okay, could we just even put that on there? Yeah. Then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Well, I just want to stop there. You see, the beginning of it is not about us. The beginning is actually looking at who God is. And then if you look at the rest, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it in heaven, and then give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors, and lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. All of these things are asking for us to be changed. If I can kind of reword it in my own words, it's like, Lord, we look at your fatherly love. We look at your amazing holiness. We look at your amazing kingly authority. And then we ask God to change us so that our will agrees with his will. We ask him to change us so that our complaining hearts are satisfied and trust him for today. We ask him to change our hearts so that we would be people of forgiveness. We ask him to change our desires so that we don't fall into temptation, but that we seek after God. See, this might surprise people when we pray. Prayer is not about, like, pray for things that you need and such. And we do pray about those things, but a lot of the prayer is saying, I respond to what you want by saying, God, change me. Change me to be more like you. When we pray, we're asking that God would show his will in our life. And how does it happen? Many times what we're trying to do on Saturday, the model that I want to do here is that as we worship him, as we look at how wonderful he is, we say, God, we open ourselves to you. And in our time of prayer, now we're going to respond to you. Whatever your will, let that be my life. So prayer is about receiving and responding. And perhaps Just to close, one helpful analogy that I've also had, I was going to do the sermon either on receiving and responding, or another one was this, and you guys can try this with me. Prayer is about breathing in, breathe in, and then breathe out. And the young people breathe exceptionally loud. No, but did you guys notice something about breathing in and breathing out? Don't you feel better when you take a deep breath and then you breathe out? Yeah. Some of us are like, yeah, that feels good. But you notice how difficult that is to do when we're like living our lives at like 100 miles per hour, when we're totally overwhelmed, when we come home and the house is a mess, when we come home and we have all this homework waiting for us, when we come home and we go to work and then we just like, oh, this week is going to be miserable. It's difficult to breathe in and to breathe out, isn't it? And that's why we need that secret place where we can breathe in and receive from God and then breathe out, responding what God has given to us. As we continue this process of breathing in and out, you notice that we don't have to keep saying to ourselves, okay, breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. We don't have to do that all day. But it's interesting, as we gain this holy rhythm of receiving from God and responding to God, it becomes natural and it becomes our daily action. And that's prayer. And you notice something else? When you take a deep breath, and then you breathe out, you breathe out just as deep. And then after that really deep breath, there's a vacuum inside of your lungs, and then the next breath will be just as deep. And you notice some of us, like sometimes in our prayers, we take these really shallow breaths. Thanks, Jesus. And then we breathe out. It's shallow again. And then we breathe in a very shallow prayer. And then we just keep kind of these shallow prayers all along. And I want to encourage us, in our times of prayer, let's breathe in a little deeper so that we can respond a little deeper. And then the next breath will be deeper. And then we'll respond deeper. Many of us have desired to grow in our spiritual walks, to grow in our prayer lives. But if you keep taking these shallow breaths, you're going to be hyperventilating spiritually for the rest of your life. That's not what God desires of you. Many therapy sessions, the first thing they'll do is when they sit down and talk with you, okay, what you need to do first is take a deep breath. And so what I want to encourage CCC to do this week, especially, find a secret place. It doesn't have to be like this long, drawn-out, 2 hours or whatever. Whatever you're able to do in your schedule, take a deep breath with God. A little deeper than you usually do. Take a time to listen and then respond and breathe out. God is waiting for you in the secret place and he longs to bless you. Let's all meet him there. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, today we want to receive from you. Lord, as we just were singing in worship, just recognizing how all creatures of our God and King are worshiping you. We're just amazed again of how worthy and how wonderful you are. We take in all that you are. And Lord, we want to respond with our lives. Deepen our prayer lives. Help us to breathe in deep and to breathe out deeply. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.